To extend greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Certainly have been very blessed to be here, inspired by what was shared in the devotional and in the Sunday school hour. I was very appreciative of what was shared in the devotional, as it gives a great introduction. Maybe not just an introduction, but it fits well with what we want to look at today. And I think as we go through the message today, you'll make some connections with what was shared. So we're thankful to God who worked through Josiah to bring that, and how it complements what we want to look at. I don't know what you were thinking of, what you're expecting this morning, but I am blessed to be able to look into God's Word and draw inspiration there and have something to share. When I decided on this topic, it's a topic that I've thought of many times over the years, and I guess the Lord knew why He laid it on my heart. But the topic today is, Lord, teach us how to pray. I will say at the outstart here that there is a book I drew a lot of inspiration from, I can highly recommend, and it's simply a book called Prayer by O. Halsbury. Maybe you've read it, maybe you haven't. I had read parts of it. I read it through in preparation for this and was blessed by doing that. So as we think of prayer, we'd like to take maybe a deeper look at prayer than we might sometimes. And so we'll ask some questions, we'll think about prayer, and hopefully as we go through this message, you will be inspired in your prayer life. So the first question I ask, what prayer, or is this sort of a statement or a question, and I have here, what prayer is. So let's think for a moment. Many of us have probably learned to pray as very young people. Possibly our parents taught us little repetitious prayers that were easy to learn and repeat. But then as we grow older, hopefully we've learned to form our own prayers and not just pray little repetitious prayers, which are fine in their place. And as we grow older yet, we realize more our need for what God can do for us, our dependency on God, and maybe typically our prayers, we pray for common everyday things. We thank God for common everyday things, food, shelter, clothing, whatever it is. And then we bring our concerns and our burdens to God as we feel the weight of those. This is all good and this is right. But sooner or later in life, we'll experience things that are tough. Some experiences that maybe we didn't really expect or we wouldn't have chosen. And we realize more deeply our need of God and how He can meet our need in these times. So it stretches us a bit in our prayer life, and we realize a little more and in a deeper way how much we need God in our lives and to meet our needs. And then maybe there are experiences that come in our lives that truly bring us to the end of all we can do or have. And in times like that, we may pray in a way we have never prayed before. And in those times, we likely will get a glimpse into a deeper communion with our Father God, a more intimate connection than we knew before. And as we come through those experiences, we look back and we realize and understand that through that, God has met our needs. We've stretched ourselves, our prayer life, and we realize what a precious treasure prayer is. We probably in those times experience a level of communion with God that we haven't before and that we wouldn't want to miss. But then time goes on, and life and all its cares, responsibilities, burdens, whatever it is, kind of sweep us along. And although we might pray regularly, we get busy with life. We have a lot to see after. We don't have or take maybe as much time as we should to pray. But we know deep inside that it's not the same. Our prayers at those times are maybe not the same as what they were when we truly realized our dependency on God and our need of God. And we might yearn for more times of that precious communion with God. And that brings us to our subject today. I said we'd like to take maybe a deeper look into prayer than you would on just the surface. So first of all, starting, I just looked up the definition of prayer in an older Webster's dictionary I had. And it had this to say: to ask earnestly, very earnestly, to make supplication as to God. I think that's right. Prayer is the act of praying, an earnest request of entreaty, an humble entreaty to God, for spiritual communion with God. So, what prayer is? We asked that, or made that statement at the beginning. Prayer in its simplest and purest form is communion with our Lord. Now, you might run with me to certain types or forms of prayer, such as a prayer of thanksgiving and praise. Maybe we spend extra time of that at Thanksgiving or other times of the year, and we focus on those things that we are thankful for. That's good and right. Maybe your mind runs to the form of intercessory prayer, a deeper type of prayer, possibly. Then there's prayers of confession, prayers of supplication. And those are all good and right, but let's go deeper yet than that. And let's look at the very essence of prayer, what prayer is. To get your mind running, I have a few questions. How do we even know how to pray? What prompts you and I to pray? What are we really doing when we pray? I don't plan to break those questions down as we go through, so I apologize I don't have a great outline today. Might not make it easy if you're taking notes, but I hope you can stick with us on this. And I'd like to keep these questions in mind as we go through this discussion, and I think we will answer them as we go along, indirectly or directly. Now, you've all likely heard, or maybe you've even used a term yourself, that prayer is a Christian's vital breath, and I totally agree with that. I believe it's an excellent comparison to prayer, and that is breathing. And let's think about that for a little bit. So when you breathe, how much concentration do you make on breathing? Pretty much just happens, don't it? You don't think, I'm going to take this breath, I'm going to take the next one. You might if you're very sick, but in a normal, healthy situation, you don't. So around us today, if we were at sea level, we're not quite, but if we were at sea level, there'd be about 14 pounds a square inch of atmospheric pressure on our bodies. So when we breathe, we're not actually sucking the air in or drawing the air in. We're actually, our muscles and our lungs expand, and the lesser pressure inside your body allows the inrush of the greater pressure outside your body. So it's very easy to pray. It's very easy to breathe. It doesn't take a lot of effort. Now, higher elevation, yes, it takes more effort because there's less pressure outside your body. The greater pressure brings that in. So this low pressure chamber we call our lungs quickly and easily fills. with the air that we need. The life-giving air that we need to exist minute by minute, hour by hour. This influx of oxygen gives us, this influx of oxygen performs its life-giving function to our entire body. So all of our body benefits from this oxygen coming in. Now let's turn to Revelation 3:20. There's a verse here that we're going to spend, we're going to reference quite a bit as we go through. We're going to draw some, just a number of thoughts from Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, you with me may have often compared this scripture to Jesus knocking at our hearts prior to conversion, and pretty aptly so, it should be compared to that. But I'd like to suggest another parallel thought with this, and that is the fact that Jesus is knocking at our hearts all the time to spend time with us. So it's not our prayer that moves Jesus, but it's Jesus asking to enter in to do what? He says, I will sup with him. So as we think about that, Jesus knows us. He has a desire to have a relationship with us even before we were ever born. So before we could ever think about God, he knew about us. It is Jesus that knocks at our heart to enter in. It is Jesus that draws us. It is his desire to come in and sup with you and I. And he knocks in order to move us to prayer. And in prayer, we open that door to communion to him. So you might think, oh, I have thought about praying. But see, God knows our thoughts before they were our own. And so he is the one that prompts your very thoughts to pray, which is his access into our lives and our minds. So to pray, I would like to suggest is simply to say that we're letting Jesus into our heart. Every time we would pray, we need to open the door to come in, for him to come in and sup with us. Let's turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Read verses 1 to 10 here. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. So there's not even a word that we thought of speaking that God didn't already know about. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And we could go on. This whole psalm talks about God being everywhere and we cannot hide from him. So we understand that God is omnipresent. That means God is everywhere. And he even knows our thoughts before they think them. So, could we then expand a little more on this comparison of our natural air and the prayer being the Christian's vital breath? That which our souls need is all around us. God is all around us. It's just the question whether we'll let him in. All we need to do is open our hearts. You know, prayer is the breath of the soul. It's the organ by which we receive Christ into our parched and withered hearts. He says, if any man open the door, I will come in. All Jesus needs is access. We don't have to reach out and pull him in. We just have to give him access. He will come in if we give him access. Now, the question I had answered earlier, we thought about our breathing. We don't really keep conscious thought about that. How many times a day do we breathe? Well, a normal, healthy human being breathes about 20 to 25,000 times in a day. Can you take one large breath and it'll last you from when you got up this morning till noontime? Is that one breath going to hold you over? No, our breathing is continual. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Now, I don't believe God calls us to work and we need to focus on that. I don't believe we're a continual prayer. I don't want to be misunderstood in that. But I think we always need to be in the state of being ready to pray and praying continuously. As the air quietly enters while we breathe and does its normal work in our lungs, so Jesus quietly enters into our hearts and does his blessed work there. He calls it to sup with us. You know, in the biblical language he's using here, this common meal of supper is symbolic of an intimate and joyous fellowship with his son or daughter. And I think this gives us a glimpse into the very nature of prayer. You know, God has designed prayer as a means of a joyous and intimate time of fellowship with his own. Now, when you gather to share a meal with someone, friends, relatives, whoever it might be, we look forward to a time of visiting, sharing around the meal. And as we do that, we want to hear what our loved ones have to say. And we hope they want to hear what we have to say. No one person does all the talking, or it's a pretty lopsided conversation. Isn't that how it is with our God? He wants to hear us. He wants to hear what we have to say. He wants to hear what we have to face. But he also wants us to give him. He wants us to give him time to speak. He wants us to give him time to share what he sees in our lives and to just listen to him. As you pray, I'd like to challenge you to welcome his answers and his input. Ask him questions. And then consciously choose to listen. Remember, it's a still small voice, so you're best equipped to listen if you remove as many distractions as possible. And it is important that you wait in quiet reverence to hear him talk. For it was he who knocked, and he desires to sup with you. So the conclusion we draw here is to pray is nothing more involved than to let Jesus into our needs and to simply give him permission to employ his powers in the alleviation of your distress. And most importantly, to pray is to let Jesus glorify his name in the midst of your needs. In doing that, then, the results of your prayer are not dependent on the one who prays. If the results of your prayer were dependent on you and I, what benefit would there be in praying? We're helpless. We need his help. And so we pray. And he's the one that's all-powerful. So the results of your prayer then are dependent on the one to whom you commune with. You know, sometimes as we pray, we're really burdened down. We feel stressed. It's an intense time maybe. And you know, so we think of that, our intense will, maybe your fervent emotions in prayer. Maybe you have a very clear comprehension of what is going on and needs done. And you see this problem before you. And you just, well, if this and this would happen, this would be the result, and that's what I so desire. But all of that is not the reason your prayer is heard. All your struggling is not the reason your prayer is heard. You know, Psalm 103:14 says, He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He knows just how feeble you are. You know, God designed prayer that the most feeble can use it. To pray is to open the door to Jesus. And that requires no strength. So I said, all that extra struggle is not what causes him to hear. We just need to open the door. But what it is a question of, it is a question of your will. Are you willing to open the door? Are you ready to surrender? Will you give him access to your needs? Let's turn to John 3. So just to recap what we just said, all of our struggle is not necessary. It's only surrender and giving God access to come in. John 3:14, I'd like to read two verses here, and we'll think a little bit about this recounting of an Old Testament happening. John 3:14 says, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, in that situation, we don't have time to read that whole story, but I think you're familiar enough with it to remember that they had sinned. God brought the punishment of the serpents. The serpents went about biting people right and left. People were dying right and left. And God, in His great mercy, through Moses' intercession, He says, make this serpent and put it on a pole. And when they're bitten, they can look at that and they won't die. It's a type of Jesus or of our salvation. But can you imagine if you were one of those bitten persons, how intensely you would have looked at that serpent on the pole? I think you would have given it a sidelined glance. And it's over there. I think you would have looked at that serpent and you would have focused your whole eye on it. Your whole face, your whole being. Because otherwise, the poison would do its work very quickly. You'd be dead. It was a life or death matter to them. But looking on that serpent, they were healed, and the poison was stayed. You know, God didn't say, drag yourself over to that serpent and touch it. They would have died before they got there. Couldn't have done that unless you were right next to it, but any distance from it you wouldn't have. So it is today through all of life. We need to only look to Jesus, having our wills totally surrendered and believing He is able. No matter what the stress you're in, we need but to look to Jesus, who can impart life-giving and healing power to overcome the death-dealing power of sin. This brings us now to another concept, and that is the concept of helplessness. We've already alluded to this. These people were helpless. They could do nothing of themselves. There was no injection to take care of this. They were going to die unless they looked. Let's read Mark 2:1-5. Turn to Mark 2. We'll look at a little story here and draw some comparisons to this. Or understand this thought of helplessness a little bit more. Mark 2. Mark 2, starting reading at verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they answered, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. We're going to stop there. There's more we could talk about it, but I'd like to look at this statement Jesus said. Son, thy sins be forgiven me. Why do you think Jesus said that? This man wanted healed. He wanted him to say, he wanted Jesus to say, get up and walk. I believe that in addition to his physical ailment, there was actually another prayer coming from this man's heart, besides a prayer for healing. And this prayer was actually crying louder to Jesus than the prayer for healing. And yet we don't have record the man said anything. But does Jesus forgive sins without a person wanting their sins to be forgiven? No, he doesn't. We need to desire that. We need to want that. And so I think we're very safe in assuming and understanding that in this man's heart, an unuttered prayer was coming. And that was forgiveness of his sins. Jesus heard that prayer, even though it wasn't uttered. You know, an unuttered prayer comes out of complete helplessness. Prayer at times is something deeper than words. It's an attitude of our hearts and minds. It's an attitude of our hearts toward God. You know, Jesus is ever in heaven interceding for us. Jesus never sleeps. He's never busy, too busy for each of us. And his caring ear is turned toward earth to hear our cry. He recognizes our cry, whether it has taken the form of words or not. He recognizes the attitude. Let's turn to Romans 8:26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So, you know, as we look at our lives, our shortcomings, our sinfulness, our pride, our selfishness, and all of our shortcomings, maybe our lukewarmness. And we hardly know how to pray. We hardly know what to say. Maybe your mind is burdened with the things of this world. And your sense of need is so great, you feel overwhelmed. So it is that honest souls struggle against their own carnal hearts and wills, and we realize we are helpless. And my friends, that's your best prayer. Just as he heard the prayer of the man who was on the bed sick of palsy, so he will hear our prayer. Let's think about this a little more, and maybe this is an illustration that we can even more closely identify with than the story of the man being left through the roof, although we can picture that. So picture with me for a bit a mother and a small infant. An infant cannot form any words. There's no great and eloquent petition formulated in that infant's heart and mind that he gives out to implore the mother to take care of him. All the infant needs to do is cry. Furthermore, the infant doesn't even need to cry. All his mother needs to do is to look at this infant in his helpless condition, and a prayer touches her heart. Our Father deals with us the same way. Night and day, he sees and hears his children. This brings me to the question, have you thanked him for this care? Is your life full of praise and worship for this great gift? But maybe no regular praise rises from your life. You know, our mothers understand this. They care for their little ones both night and day, sacrificing and suffering for them. And no thanksgiving rises from that infant's lips. And actually, in spite of all that, the infant is a carnal being. It can be quite contrary and cause all kinds of difficulty in spite of the mother's care. Does the mother stop caring for them then? So it is with God. And unlike our mothers, God never grows weary. He never needs to sleep. God's care is not limited to a lifetime. It's eternal. Read a verse here from Matthew 18, verse 3. And he says, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." When our helplessness reaches that point of not knowing what to do or where to turn, then God can break down our self-conceit and our self-sufficiency. We can then be drawn into the fellowship of our incomprehensible God, and our sup with Him will be patient. I'd like to spend just a few moments yet on the question of answers to your prayers. How does God answer prayer? Why does it seem that God doesn't answer my prayer? Maybe today you say, "I've cried out to God for days, weeks, and even years for something. Maybe I'm just not praying right. Maybe my prayers are empty words that just reach the ceiling. Maybe I need more holy zeal, more dedication, more decided determination in my prayer. Maybe you feel forsaken and drifting aimlessly with your prayers. There's no results." Remember, the answering of your prayers is not dependent on the person that prays. We simply need to open the door and let Him into our distress. You know, my friends, when you have prayed and you think He hasn't answered, remember this. He has answered your prayer. You see, you've opened your heart in your helplessness and left Him in. And He has answered that and come in. Thank Him for that. He's dwelling in you and doing a good work in your life. Thank Him for that. You see, your prayers have been answered, but they've been answered in a way that Almighty God has chosen. For sake of time, I'll just read this verse, Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Psalm 103:11 says, For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. You know, he has answered your prayer, but as yet you don't really understand his answer. You may have imagined an answer that fit what you were looking for. An answer from God that was according to your will. And your old thinking. And that if God would have answered in that way, it would have given you peace and assurance and joy. Now because he hasn't answered it according to your will, and it hasn't happened immediately, you assume he hasn't answered. You see, Jesus has many things to tell us and much to accomplish in our lives, and we don't understand it all. And the impatient humans that we are, we think he should do something for us now. And we want it right now. And we feel that we can understand this situation. And we just know exactly what needs to be done. But you know, he's patient. He's not disturbed by your impatience. As he told Peter in John 13, Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. I'd like to just draw out a phrase there, and he says to Peter, he says, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt understand hereafter. Sometimes the test of unanswered prayer lies with you and I. You know, God may want to see just how serious you are in praying. And it may be that years from now, you'll see the answer, and maybe you'll never see the answer. Maybe you'll have passed off the scene, and others will see the answer and results. First Peter 3:9, God is not slack concerning his promise, as men would count slackness. I know this refers to the return of Christ, but I think we can apply it here. So God in his infinite knowledge has answered your prayer right away. And by faith we need to rest in that. Don't be anxious because of your helplessness and seemingly unanswered prayers. Thank God for that feeling of helplessness, for it is the impelling power of prayer. You know, those who do not feel helpless, those who feel they've got it under control, have no need of prayer of God. And you know, and thinking about answered prayers, a perspective from heaven, things may look differently than our perspective from earth. Can we by faith grasp the fact that likely also our prayers look different when they're viewed from above than viewed from below? You know, we can endure a great many things when we can see the reason for it. We understand the purpose of it. That's when we can't understand that we tend to get irritated. Isaiah 57:15, I'll just read this here. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. If we surrender, then God himself enables us to humble ourselves beneath the inscrutability of God. And we can endure and rely upon him and rest. Now our helplessness is no longer the storm center of your prayer life, causing you to cry out in distress. But our helplessness is now the quiet, sustaining power of your prayer life. But you know, as we look at this, so many times, you know, in our humanity, we slip out of this blessed attitude of helplessness before God. And our former shortcomings, our self-sufficiency, our self-conceit come up to the surface again. And we're filled with anxiety and perplexity, and life is a snarled mess sometimes. And worldliness and lukewarmness begin to choke our spiritual lives. And we don't experience victory as we wish. Maybe our relationships are strained, and we struggle to forgive and to be forgiven. peace of God seems to have vanished from our lives. We'll continue in this state until God in His mercy makes us humble again and contrite of heart. And He allows whatever it will take to bring us back to total helplessness and dependency on Him. In the end here, our helplessness reestablishes us in a right relationship with God and others. And above all, it restores us into the right attitude of prayer. And our helplessness should make us attached to God and more strongly dependent on Him than words can describe. John 15:5, which as I read, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And in one short verse here, he tells us what it takes a lifetime to learn. And even when we reach the portals of death, we have not yet learned it fully. In closing, Zion's Praises 404 says this, when cold our lips and far from thee, our wandering spirits stray, and thoughts and lips move heavily, Lord, teach us how to pray. We know not how to seek thy face unless thou lead the way. We have no words unless thy grace shall teach us how to pray. Hear every thought and fond desire. We on thine altar lay. And when our souls have caught thy fire, Lord, teach us how to pray. The refrain says this, Lord, teach us how to pray. Inspire the words we say. Oh, fill our hearts with warm desire and teach us how to pray. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we gather in your presence today, we welcome you into our lives and into our hearts. And we thank you for teaching us how to pray. We thank you for your word and the stories in your word that we can draw from, the promises we can claim, and for your care and concern for your people. We are dust, and you are the mighty one. We pray that you would be near to each one gathered here today. Help them grow in their prayer life. Help them be inspired to a closer communion with you. And as we go from this place and meet a new week, that you would be with us, help us to remember to pray for you. Give us the strength and wisdom for whatever life brings our way. We pray this in Jesus' name.